Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus was the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. A reading from Acts. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 68 responsively. Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee.
As the smoke is driven away, so you should drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God.
But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful.
Sing to God, sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am in Gethsemane. Rejoice before God.
In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defenders of widows.
You give yourself a shelter to your home and bring forth prisoners into freedom. But rebels shall live in desert places.
O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel.
You sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished.
Your people found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provisions for the poor.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord.
You cry in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice.
Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies.
How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting upon you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A while back, I went to pray with someone who was facing a major medical procedure. And we prayed, and I shared a passage from Scripture. It was a prayer of comfort and assurance. And this woman, who was filled with anxiety and doubt, later told me how much peace of mind and how much calmness of heart she felt, knowing that someone was praying for her during her time in the hospital. I hope that you have had experiences like that, not experiences of anxiety, not experiences of medical procedures, but the part of that story that I hope that you have had a similar experience is the experience of knowing that someone is praying for you, that sense of calm, that sense of even joy that comes from knowing that someone is praying for you. Those who are facing surgery enter that operating room with confidence, knowing that their family is praying for them. Those who are undergoing treatment for cancer or other disease report that their belief that others have prayed for them has made a huge difference in how they approach their treatment. People who are facing stress or walking a particularly difficult path in their life find great comfort when someone says to them, "I'm praying with you. I'm praying for you." Every Wednesday, the office administrator, the director of the preschool, Vicar Joshua, and I sit down for a staff meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, we have a time of prayer for particular individuals, for church members, for preschool families, for visitors, for volunteers, for the employees of the church. And we pray for people by name. Maybe you have received a postcard or an email from Vicar Joshua, who is the organizer of this part of our staff meeting. Maybe you've received a card that says, "We're praying for you on this particular day." Joshua often gets a response to those emails and postcards with gratitude, "Thank you for praying for me," or maybe even a particular concern, "I'd like these things to be remembered when you pray for us, pray for me." Isn't it wonderful to know when someone is praying for you? But there's something even better than that, and that's knowing that the one who is praying for you is Jesus. The disciples experienced his prayer firsthand. He gathered them together in that upper room. I'm going for water. Excuse me. He gathered them together in that upper room on the night before he died. And he prayed for them. But first he picked up a towel and a basin and he washed their feet. He said, I'm setting an example for you. Do for others what I have done for you. He gave them a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. He told them that in his Father's house there were many dwelling places and that he was going to prepare such a place for them. He warned them about the influences of the world and of sin, and he challenged them, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He gave them a promise. He promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be with them and be with them always. He warned them again about persecution that they would face. And then he prayed for them. Now, the gospel reports many times when Jesus is at prayer. We hear stories about Jesus leaving early in the morning to go about by himself to spend time in prayer, or sending the disciples on home and Jesus spending more time by himself in prayer. But this time, Jesus prays in the apostles' hearing. He prays for the disciples, and he prays for all of the future disciples. That's us. He's praying for us. We who have received the good news that has been passed down generation to generation. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for us, for the church. It's nice to know that someone's praying for you. It's wonderful to know that Jesus is praying for you. And Jesus is quite specific in this prayer. He prays for safety and protection. He prays for the joy of faith, for victory over evil. And he prays twice for unity. For the disciples, he prays, "Protect them in your name, Father, so that they may be one as we are one." And later, when he's praying for the future faithful, for us, he prays that all may be one. This is a prayer that we need to hear. We need to hear this prayer for unity. Clearly, the disciples needed to hear that prayer. Sometimes we think about the disciples as being one big happy family gathered around that Last Supper table. But I don't think that was the reality. Think about Matthew sitting across the table from Simon the Zealot. Matthew is a tax collector, and no one is more despised in Jewish culture than someone who has gone to work for the occupying government, for the Romans. And that's what Matthew had done. We don't know much about Simon, but we do know about the Zealots. The Zealots were the religious extremists in that day. They were totally dedicated to Jewish law and customs, and they despised foreigners, especially Romans, and anyone who worked for the Romans. So we have these two people sitting across the table from one another, faithful disciples of the same rabbi. No wonder Jesus prayed for unity among the disciples. It would be an ongoing struggle for them, even for his closest followers. And it's still a struggle for us, the followers of Jesus today. Does anyone want to give a guess at how many Christian denominations there are today? You know, since Jesus and his disciples sat at that table a couple thousand years ago, how many Christian denominations do we have today? Or have we had since then? Some have come and gone. Let's hear a number. 60? 500? 10,000? 2,000? 10,000 is low. Okay. 34,000. That's around the world. I mean, that's not in the United States. In the United States, it's 12,000-something. Different Christian denominations, systems of belief. Some large, like the Roman Catholic Church. Some smaller, like the Lutheran Church, which has this many branches. And some very small, house church with two families, maybe. But 34,000 different denominations. So what about Jesus' prayer? So that they all may be one. Jesus is praying at that time, was praying, now is praying, still prays for unity. Jesus doesn't pray for uniformity. He doesn't pray that everybody looks the same or acts the same. He prays that they all may be one. He prayed for unity so that the world would know that God had sent Jesus as Savior. The good news is that the risen Lord continues to pray for us, continues to see us, to see in the future the reality that we can be one in unity, where we only see division and disagreements. Jesus sees the church, his faithful followers, as a unified body of believers. And by God's grace, that is what we can be. Jesus prays that someday we would be one, not one in doctrine or uniformity, but one in spirit, one in respect and love for one another and for all the world. When I was growing up, there was a popular song that we sang in church with the guitars, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." That's the kind of unity that Jesus was praying for. Last Wednesday, Vicar Joshua and I attended the semi-annual gathering of San Diego clergy from the Missouri Lutheran Church and the ELCA. We meet twice a year to fellowship and to hear a presentation and then to hear the responses from our bishop and from the district president from the Missouri Synod. This past presentation on Wednesday was, or on Thursday, was on Christian unity, or if I would use the churchy word, I would say ecumenism or ecumenical. Four people from San Diego had attended the national workshop on Christian unity, a Roman Catholic, an Episcopalian, a Missouri Synod pastor, and an ELCA pastor. And they each gave a brief talk on their perspective from their church, their perspective of Christian unity. And it interested me that all four of these presentations and the responses from the bishop and the district superintendent is they emphasized not our differences, but the things that we disagree with on doctrine. We always get stuck on those things. We always get stuck when we start talking about women's ordination and homosexuality, well, sexuality in any sense, how we read the Bible, this, some doctrine things that we really get stuck on. And they said, let's look at the things that we do together, where we are one. And they talked about our common call, this call where Jesus says that all may be one. We are all called to that. How are we doing that? To works of mercy and hospitality, to our need to pray for one another, and most of all, to pay attention to that command of Jesus to love one another. Just think of it. 34,000 Christian systems or denominations, but all of us gathered to hear Jesus praying for us, praying that we would be one, praying that we would be witnesses to the ends of the earth, praying that we would act with mercy toward all, that we would love one another. Indeed, it is true that the world will know we are Christians by our love and by our acts of mercy and hospitality. Isn't it wonderful to know that someone is praying for you and that that someone is Jesus Christ? Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Amen.